Good morning. This is the last day of the retreat, and it looks like people are ready, packing up and ready to go home. just having a few thoughts floating through my mind, and just want to say a few words on them. And one of the thoughts was this idea of like urgency with the practice. Yeah, from time to time this idea comes up in one's mind as a practitioner, just contemplating the amount of time one has left on this earth and how one uses the time that they have left. To be wise with their time, yeah, to use it in a way where one can develop spiritually and in their meditation. So the Buddha does talk about this from time to time. You read it in the scriptures because he understood, even though monks and nuns have taken the vow of being like monastics living in solitude, we still waste our time. We waste our time on like building projects, even though we're making like a ton of good karma. We waste our time just like talking to people. Yeah, we waste our time sleeping all day. So yeah, even the monastics can find ways to waste their time. And I think it's one of these like reflections that we can understand quite easily. Yeah, we don't need to have a lot of wisdom to get it. And yeah, just like understand, like this is a weekend retreat. You only have like a few hours to go, and you want to make the most of it because you understand what's going to happen once you leave the front gates of Jhana Grove. You're going to go back to like your old lives, well, not your old lives, but back to your lives doing what you do. Yeah. So that's an actually like a nice reflection that from time to time we can contemplate. And if the reflection does work, then it usually gets us to put our bums on the meditation cushion, to do what is meaningful, to do, you know, what we want as our goals as like meditators, and to put time into it. So it's just a little way of like motivating oneself to put time into the meditation practice. Just knowing that, yeah, you're not going to be young forever. You're going to get older. And then once you get older, it's a little bit harder to practice. Yes, because the body gets tired easily. So when you're sitting, you know, the meditation is not really biting. So when you get older, the mind is kind of like has set deep roots in your ways of thinking. So there's a certain level of stubbornness there. So it's a little bit harder to change when you get older. So for you young folk, now is the time. Yeah. And then when you think about it, you know, it's like the things that you do, are they really worthwhile? Yeah. Going to movies, you know, eating nice food, seeing friends, going shopping, traveling on holidays, you know, how much happiness and contentment does these things really give you? Yeah. At the end of the day, they don't really provide much in terms of like spiritual growth or inner happiness. So those are like the reflections that one can use, and you can start to compare You know, what kind of benefits are you getting from the world? And what kind of benefits are you getting from, like, the spiritual practice, the practice of meditation? And then just through your own reflection, through your own understanding, through your own experiences, you can decide, you know, with your life, which direction you want to focus on. So, yeah. But still, we're here, and we still have to meditate. And I was just thinking, oh, what can I talk about? And I just like this idea of like leaving things alone when you're meditating. Yeah. And the idea of just taking our hands off the steering wheel, the idea of doing nothing when you sit down, just in a sense, just taking away all that craving, taking away all that will. And there's like just like a couple of stories that come to mind. And one of the stories is one of my favorites, is a story about Ajahn Chah. And at this time he was getting quite famous, and he was traveling around, going to Europe, going to America, and just teaching people. Yeah, apparently he was a great teacher. He was able to like express the Dhamma in a simple and profound way, and he was able to like attract Westerners to go practice with him. So, like, you know, the Ajahn Sumedhos, the Ajahn Brahms, the Ajahn Amaros, Ajahn Suchito, they all came in contact with Ajahn Chah because of his ability expound the Dhamma for them to understand. So he became famous, and he went to America, and he was like teaching a retreat, and you know, as you know, you, like in the hall, people sitting down, they're listening to the talk, and they get a chance to ask questions. So they asked a question, and they asked Ajahn Chah, how do you prepare your mind for the meditation practice? And he said, oh, I don't prepare my mind, I just leave it alone. Yeah. And just by doing that, just by leaving it alone, he's able to get into like the deepest of meditations. Yeah. So it's actually quite powerful, this teaching of leaving things alone. And I think after a while, when you just dabble in this idea of leaving things alone as you're meditating, one of the experiences that you have is like this experience of like freedom, experience of when you disappear, like there's like a feeling of freedom there. And just to drive in the point of leaving things alone can lead to the deepest of meditations. So when Ajahn Chah was sick, he was sick, yeah. And he actually had a stroke, and he couldn't speak for about 10 years. And I just recall this part of the story where the Sangha of monks had a meeting, because they understood, like, if you were in like a vegetable state and you needed like medical help to stay alive, then that would be a very unpleasant abiding. Yeah, for anybody. No one really wants to live like that. So the Sangha got together, and they had a conversation, and they thought about the idea that it would be like a benefit to like Buddhism, a benefit to his disciples, that they keep him alive so he can be like a source of inspiration and a source of good karma. So the Sangha amongst decided, discussed that, and then they went to see Ajahn Chah, and to ask Ajahn Chah the question. And Ajahn Chah at the time, he couldn't talk, so he could grunt or make noises. Yeah. So then the monks went to see him, and they asked him the question, you know, Mung Po, can we please keep you alive so that, you know, you can be a source of merit and an inspiration for the monks and the future supporters. And Ajahn Chah, he grunted, which means yes. But little did they know that he would live on for another 10 years. Yeah, so he lived for another 10 years and then he passed away. But during that time, he was still able to get into the deep meditations. Yeah. And the evidence of that is that from time to time, his heart rate would stop and his breathing would stop. Mm. And those were the times when the monks were looking after him, or the nurses, they would freak out because they wouldn't want to be the one to kill Ajahn Chah. So this happened once, and the monks completely freaked out. So then, you know, as you freak out, what do? You kind of seek the professionals. So then they got the doctors to come in. And then the doctors came in and took blood samples to see what is actually going on. Because obviously he wasn't breathing and there was no heart rate, but he didn't seem to appear to be dead. Yeah. Yeah. So then they took samples of the blood, and then the blood results came back and Ajahn Chah had like oxygen in his blood. Yeah. So what happened was he got into such like a deep meditation that his heart rate stopped and his breathing stopped. Yeah. And he just did that by just leaving things alone. And that's like the theme of meditation that we can do this morning, is just learning how to leave things alone. Yeah. Stepping back and just relaxing and just see what happens. Yeah. So I think that is enough for this morning. I will guide you in a meditation, and then we'll come back for the final talk. So we just allow our minds and our bodies to settle down for the next few moments. And we're just going into that nice place called meditation. we're just allowing things to be. We're leaving things alone. And we're just watching whatever's going on in our minds without any discrimination, without any commentary. It is a time where our minds don't have to do any work anymore for the next half an hour. So when we start to leave things alone, we can start to see our minds just becoming more emptier as the moments go by. So we're not judging or controlling or trying to make our mind still, but instead we accept what happens by leaving things alone. We can watch the mind grow in stillness, or we can watch the mind being sleepy, or we can watch the mind thinking about things too much. It doesn't really matter. Just leave it alone and watch and see that these things will dissipate in their own time. In a sense, if you leave things alone, you're taking away that energy that blocks the mind from going deeper. You're taking that energy away from the thinking mind. You're taking the energy away from the doing mind. And when you take those energies away, the mind can start to unwind, starts to slow down, and starts to live more in the silence, live more in the present moment. So now we can just sit quietly for the next 20 minutes.